Gardendale or down south past Vestavia. Turn up your sound and listen well, cause we got something to say to you. Curry and Claypo, they in the know. Their topics cover A to Z. So whether you drive fast or slow, just sit on back and feel the beat.
Oh no!
It's Curry and Claypo.
Good morning, those are the docile sounds of the Soul Carnival. They open up our show every morning and Tim Harris, who's the manager of that band, he calls me every morning. He says, hey, can you not talk over that song so I can hear it? And we'll let you listen to it this morning. Go ahead. Even though it is my walk-up music, it's kind of hard not to talk over this because then I feel like anybody got time to take a whiz before I come in here? Dr. Josh will join us in a second. Okay, I'll show up now. There you go, Timmy. There you go. It is really, really good, isn't it? We've had that open now for a couple of years, and man, we should come out with like an EP of that, like a 17-minute version, like the extended version. See if I can talk the whole thing, talk the whole thing up. We'll be going Facebook Live here on the Tony Curry page in just a few minutes. And of course, you can find us anywhere on Tony Curry Radio on Facebook, Instagram. Now I'm on LinkedIn. We talked about that. If you're a business person, you got to do the LinkedIn thing, and certainly Twitter as well. Special thanks. I had Wednesdays are fantastic around here, and then Thursdays we end up doing some interviews as well. And had just a crazy, wonderful conversation with Damon Johnson yesterday. By the way, coming up. Tonight, I got to get my days right. Tonight, 8 o'clock, it's Damon Johnson Fridays. He is on at noon and 8 o'clock now. We've simplified things. So Austin Hanks and Blues Almighty is on Thursdays at noon and 8. Damon Johnson Show, noon and 8 on Friday. Later on tonight, he's going to be doing his favorite classic rock bands comprised of three members. That comes with Triumph, Cream, Jimi Hendrix Experience, The Police, Genesis, Nirvana, the Get Ready. I mean, there's like 50 bands that he could have chosen from, and I love doing these things. And then yesterday we recorded the show for next Friday, which is going to be the top six bands that are not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know, we did that thing, Dr. Josh, where we did the bands that weren't in the Rock and Roll, and they did a impromptu type of survey with fans. Motley Crue was number one. Iron Maiden was number two. Pat Benatar. I will tell you right now that two of the top three are in his list, but it ain't the one you think.
Oh. Okay.
One of them is Iron Maiden. He's like absolutely Iron Maiden should be in the Rock and Roll of Fame. And that's one of those bands where they're selling out arenas in Europe right now. Iron Maiden is. I mean, 70,000 people are going to see Iron Maiden. It's not part of a festival. They're just going to see Iron Maiden.
Well, it makes sense.
No, it doesn't. No, they're 70 years old.
Well, no,
and they
no.
had their time, but it's come back around, and it's just like in Europe's, you know, right. Like Thin Lizzy, the band that obviously Damon was in, and he loves that band. It's another one of the bands that they think should be in the Rock and Roll of Fame, and they should be. They were up for induction last year. They didn't make it. They kill over there. If you had a Thin Lizzy here, I don't know what it would do.
Like David Hasselhoff.
Yeah, a little bit,
no, but
a little bit,
yeah,
a little bit, but over there, man, I mean, it's huge. And then he threw a zinger in because I said classic rock bands that aren't in the Rock and Roll of Fame. He went off the road a little bit.
Just bands.
And he picked Dolly Parton. So you will hear Dolly Parton on this radio station. And I said, he's like, is that okay? I said, is that okay, dude? It's your flipping show. I said, go, baby. I said, go. It's fantastic.
He's a small town country boy.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I mean... It makes a lot of sense. I thought you were going to say Tony Orlando and Don.
Last Friday night, he dropped the F-bomb.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, he's also...
I was like, whoa, big fella. And he's like, dude, I'm so sorry. I said, no, man. This
not
is
terrestrial.
This show
say
is...
Say it again.
Well, even if it was terrestrial. I said, this is the Damon Johnson Show. This is you. If you haven't heard the show, listen to it. I mean, this is not... It's raw, but it's very well produced. And he's like, that's how I talk. I said, then that's the way you talk. This is your show. I said, dude,
nice, by the way.
You like that?
Yeah.
I just put that up this morning.
I like the blue. Thank you.
I got outside and did, You know, I'm a Christmas light guy.
I know you have a ladder. I'm seeing a ladder out in the
This dream. Morning has been pure hell.
I hope to God your child's not there.
No.
Okay. Because there's wires.
So I love doing my Christmas lights. It's a labor of love. It's truly a labor of love. It takes a lot of time. Mm-hmm. My neighbors expect it. My kids expect it. And so now it's more of a, like, I gotta get done. But when I get it done, it's like going to the gym. Everything, I analogize, everything going to the gym. I hate going to the gym. Once I go to the gym, I'm so glad I did it. So I'm out working on the lights last night. And then obviously what I do is I usually put everything up. And I took all my shrubbery out. I told you I had my Jason moment with the chainsaw and the mask on about 3 months ago. Exactly. And the whole idea was that things would be rolling. I'd go buy some shrubbery and have it all planted in time for the holidays.
Oh, but yeah, but then life changes.
People don't pay bills. Things happen.
Right.
Next thing you know, and next thing daddy's doing, and I'm thinking meatloaf or bush.
Right.
I'm on meatloaf, you know? Right. So nothing got planted. And then I'm thinking, well, I'll just wait till spring anyway, because you don't want to be planting stuff now because you got to water it and all this stuff. So the front of my house, it looks like if it was upgraded a little bit, because my house was built in the 80s, it would look like it's a new neighborhood, because I got absolutely not a damn thing in the front yard outside.
It's the minimalist. You're a minimalist approach this year.
So we had a conversation, and I was like, dude, I only had like another 30 minutes of daylight. And then you put all the stuff up. And then at that point, I try to figure out how it's all going to get plugged in. So I got outlets in the front yard that I did specifically for this to make this easy. But whenever it rains, the breakers trip. And so I have to do everything inside. And then I'm trying to do everything much like a Griswold on one, plugging the thing in. So it's all on one timer. So everything's going on because my stuff's on 24 hours a day.
You're stressing me out.
So I got that done.
Is this why you didn't call me back?
Yeah, I told you. I said, and then I said, I'll call you a little bit. Then you were nice enough to call because I know you're busy.
No.
We talked. And then my daughter FaceTimed me, and I'm like, I got to go. And I apologized this morning. So about 1:30 in the morning, I haven't slept in my bed all week.
Why?
I don't know what it is. It's something that starts in your prepubescent days. When you fall asleep on a couch, it's just a wonderful thing. And mom comes up and says, honey, it's 8 o'clock, go to bed. You're not sleeping on the couch. My mom used to do it because it would mess up the couch. She's like, stop sleeping on the couch. You're messing the couch up. It's for sitting on. It's not for napping on. You can nap on a Saturday or do whatever. So when I'm at home and I got the kids, and I don't have the kids this week, I sit in my chair and I get super comfortable. For some reason, I'm more comfortable with them here than I am without them here. You would think it's super quiet. I could sleep a lot better. Yeah. I can't do it. And so I fall asleep in my chair. My son's talking to me 24 hours a day. Hey, Dad, hey, Dad. I'm chipping and I fall asleep in my chair. And then my daughter usually gets me up. I need to go to bed. I need to go to school, blah, 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 blah.
I need to go to
bed. So when I'm here and they're not here, then I'm like, okay, I can do this and I don't have to worry about it. And so what I do is I put my TV show on and I listened to Austin Hanks' Blues Almighty last night, which was flipping fantastic. That show just kills me. I love that show. And about 9 o'clock, I turn it off and I'm sitting there and I'm watching TV and I fall asleep. And then I wake up at 2:30. I haven't been in bed all week. I have not slept in my bed one time. And at 2:30, I feel pretty good, though.
Okay.
My neck feels good. Back is kind of weird.
Okay, well, then good.
And I'm thinking to myself, and then I usually wake up at 2:30, one of the dogs, will start sniffing around, hunching backside, whatever, and then I'm like, it's too late to go to bed now because I get it before, so I just stay in my chair. So that's what I've been doing. But last night, about 1:30,
This is gripping.
It really is. I know, it's boring as shit, but
I'm listening, dude.
I got this Australian Shepherd, and he whines. And I'm like, and so he starts whining like at 1:30. I'm like, dude, chill out. Be happy I'm in the same room with you. I'm not back in the bedroom. I'm spending time with you. We're in the same room together. This should be enough for you. You got water. You got whatever you want. And he keeps going at it. And I started getting kind of pissy at him. I was like, knock it off. Get out of here. I was going to lock him up outside or something. And then I realize that it's not him. It's my smoke detector chirping.
Dog goes,
and it's enough to wake up. Well, that's what it kind of sounds like. So it's chirping. So he's freaking out. So that thing starts chirping down here. Yeah, right?
You need a new battery.
Yeah. And so I'm thinking, and so that's, you know, forget about it. I mean, you're not going back to sleep until you change the battery. And, of course, I need the lighter, so I came down here and changed
the battery. Then when you change the battery, it goes
into test. Well, and the battery, it's one of these, it's one of these long, no, it's not a 9-volt. It's a, it looks like a fat impregnated AAA. It's a battery I've never seen before. It's a fat little thing about this big, and it looks like a Lincoln log. And I'm like, what the hell is this? I don't have any of those.
No, you can't scramble around for those.
And it's hard. It's hardwired, so it continues to chirp even when I take the battery out. So I'm like, well, So now I got the breaker box. I'm like, do I want to turn it on? I was like, I'll just leave it on. So I just got up.
You've been up since what?
1:30? So 1:30. So then I go into the kitchen, and I'm making me a bowl of Fruity Pebbles with some blueberries.
I hope everybody who's listening and watching just sitting on the edge of their chair because this is getting better and better. We're at Fruity Pebbles now.
And so I look up on top of my refrigerator. You see my tweet this morning?
No.
You need to follow me, dude.
I do follow you.
I
don't pay attention to your stuff.
Look at this picture. Look at this stinking picture.
Was the milk bad?
No.
Oh.
No.
There's a rat. No, a spider.
No.
Cockroach.
No.
The dog.
Hold on.
More gripping. Are y'all like people are just like
Look at this right here.
From how many years ago?
This morning. Flipping up on the shelf.
That's what I'm saying.
Woke me up with the air horn. Yeah.
Wait, it was the air, huh?
The air horn's on top of the refrigerator.
Oh.
I had it from a run I did at our church a couple months ago.
I thought you were talking about, because
the stinking elf on the shelf hit the horn this morning and scared the hell out of me about 2:30, because I don't know where the elf, and you ain't allowed to touch the elves on the shelf.
Well, that's what you were talking about earlier last week, that you lose the elf on the shelf. So I thought what you were going to tell me is you found the elf on the shelf.
Yeah, she didn't ask for that in the divorce.
You could have given that to her.
Well, she, because I shared all the Christmas stuff, I just took all the Christmas stuff over to the exes, and I said, take what you want, be fair, and then give me the rest. Mm-hmm. And so she took everything she wanted, I'm not going to argue over ornaments and stuff like that, and then she sent it back, and then she kept the five elves. We have five elves on the shelves, because...
What is that one?
If you can't find... Well, the elf on the shelf goes away after the holidays, right? So where does he go?
The top of the refrigerator.
No, back to the North Pole.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
And then you have to wait for him to come back.
So he can't. Okay, you're confusing.
And a lot of times, you can't find that elf on the shelf the next year, and the kids are like, "Gee, where's the elf on the shelf?" And I'm like, "I don't know. He hides." And so I hid it, so I can't ever find it. And so the elf on the shelf came back, and so then you buy another one for $39.95, and then another one.
But
where's the book?
So is this one from past years?
Yeah, it just showed up.
So he didn't come back from your exes?
No, he just was here.
Yeah. Well, you know what this
freaked
is like?
Me out.
This is like during Passover, we leave the door open for Elijah to come in.
Who's Elijah?
Elijah is, it's like the goat, it's like he's a prophet. And so during Passover, you always leave the door open and an extra glass of wine.
Yeah.
And you wait
an extra glass of wine.
Yeah, you do, because you set it set for Elijah, yeah.
There you go.
He's a prophet, so that's kind of the same thing. That was gripping, dude.
Thank you.
I was waiting to see that the milk was going to spoil.
No, my milk's good.
Pebbles. Okay.
So I was like, that's how my day has been going. So I put a little lights up in there this morning. You like that?
That's very nice.
And
you should get you could get a chair. Well, I guess it'd be more like a hospital bed. You're not ready for that. You get like a hospital bed chair that you just lay back in, and then it just lifts you up. Or just a you could get a single bed.
Yeah.
I can't believe you don't sleep in bed.
By the way, if you're looking for new Christmas ideas.
You're doing shopping now on
Funko,
air?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I am. Funko has just memorialized Eddie Van Halen. You can get a Funko doll. You know those Funkos? Those are pretty cool.
Oh,
People are collecting those Funko dolls. You can do AC/DC dolls, and now you got one for Eddie Van Halen.
That's nice.
If you're looking for something like that. So anyway.
We have Funk Out. It's called Funk Out. It's when you have, typically if you have boys.
Yeah.
Stinky boy. You know, boys stink.
Yeah.
Particularly when they're pubescent. So we have this spray. It's called Funk Out. And it's not like an air freshener. It's to, like, it neutralizes boy smell in, like...
It's deodorant?
No, you spray it. It's somewhere between Febreze and, like a shout. Like, you put it on the...
Yeah.
You spray it, or you could put it on before you wash it, and it gets the funk out. But it's only for... funky smells. It's not like dirt, and it's not like an air freshener.
Just like Axe.
No, Axe is, but this is like literally, it's a chemical designed to neutralize funky smells. Like,
well, that's what Axe is.
No, dude, Axe is just a deodorant, and it smells bad.
Isn't that what this is here?
No. This is for like, this is for clothes. I mean, for like blankets and clothes. You got two. Your boys are clean, but they've got a, you know, they've got a boy smell.
My boys shower every day.
Yeah, well, so do mine.
And my daughter doesn't shower for weeks.
Yeah, but she'd probably, well,
she's starting to stink.
A little ripe.
She's 9 years
old. But girls stink differently.
Oh, she stinks.
A stinks like a boy?
Well, the only reason she showers is her hair.
Right.
Because if she doesn't shower, then she gets knots in her hair. That's the only reason. I mean, if she didn't have hair, she would never shower.
Been there.
It's great. Isn't it great? Don't you remember those days where you didn't have to shower for like
a week? I don't mean that. Been there with the hair and the don't touch my hair and I got knots in my hair. Yeah. Not me. Yeah. Daughter. Don't touch my hair. Well, somebody's got to get those knots out.
I know, right?
That's a dad-daughter thing.
Well, she wore her first bun last night. She was at dance class, and she sent me a picture, and she had these things that made it look like a little reindeer.
Oh, cool.
That's when she called to let me know she was FaceTiming me from her dance class.
Nice.
And her mom was like, come on.
Is she going to grow dreads? She could.
She could.
I offered that to my daughter.
She could Bo Derek it.
No, that's not dreads. Those are braids. I'm talking dreadlocks. You just don't wash them.
Oh, those are kind of, those are cornholes, right? No?
No, cornrows.
Cornholes?
No, corn.
Cornholes. Matt Hageman does hair now. Cornholes.
Cornrows.
I'm a little,
dreadlocks.
I need more coffee.
Dreadlocks.
I need more
dreadlocks.
Coffee.
Dreadlocks. You have to nurture them. Mm-hmm. Did you see Rutgers last night?
Dude, there was like three or four killer games last night.
The Rutgers thing was just.
And Alabama knocks off Gonzaga last week.
Oh, yeah.
And then Purdue is like killer. I'm into college hoops big time right now. And that was a hell of a shot. That was a great shot. If you missed it, you should go check that out. And Rutgers is like not a very good basketball team. Purdue makes a last basket, and then three seconds left, he goes down and hits one just beyond the half court. That was awesome. And the Lakers lost again last night. Congratulations. They got problems.
What the hell?
Even with LeBron, they got problems. They'll find themselves.
Well, that's what everybody said.
They didn't turn the switch on yet.
Yeah.
They'll get in as a 6 or 7 seed, and they'll wipe it up. That's when LeBron plays his best.
That's so weird. Don't you think that's weird? Do you think it's not? I always wondered about that. I wonder about it in pro basketball. I wonder about it in pro baseball. I wonder about it in seasons where their seasons are super long, right? Because you don't have to worry about it.
No.
Do you think they go in, not that they're not trying to win, but is it like, we don't want to get injured. We're playing hard, but we're pros. We know how hard to play so that it's good enough that we could win, but we don't want to, because they're all old. I mean, do you think that's
it? You're only playing for seeding, right? So, I mean, you're basically playing for seeding, because if you know you're good enough, if you know Brooklyn can get in as an 8 seed, then, but you ask anybody that plays sports, there is no switch. You can't just turn it on when you want to.
No, I know.
There has to be some type of chemistry playing going in. LeBron's been so banged up all year long. You know, it's interesting. I'm glad you brought this up. We were talking about Nick Saban.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen to Alabama after he leaves, and are they going to bring in a guy, and is it going to be a coach in waiting, blah, 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 blah. And we still got time on that. LeBron James is what, 36?
36 or 37. Yeah, 36, I think.
Are you already thinking as a Laker fan, what's it going to look like? Because he is still, you can still make an argument that he's the MVP of the league because he's most valuable to his team. I mean, he does it all.
Yeah.
He's an unbelievable player, and he's a great shooter. What people don't really give him enough credit for is he's probably the best facilitator I've ever seen outside Magic Johnson. The guy may end up breaking some of Magic Johnson's assist records. The guy has led his basketball team every year he's been in the league, regardless of what team, Miami, Cleveland, LA, in assists. I mean, forget about that, and he's averaging 25 points a game. But you ever think what's going to happen when he –
who's the next LeBron, right? I mean, not that there will ever be, but, you know, who was the next Michael Jordan? And then kind of Kobe came along, and it's not the same as Michael Jordan, but, you know. So who's the next coming up who's in the league? And it is different because there's a bunch of them. I mean, I'm not saying that they're the same as LeBron, but there's a bunch of great players. And I do think while they're older, I mean, I think it goes to show you that you don't have to have the superstar now. I feel like, you know, Maybe they'll get Giannis.
Yeah.
Lakers. I mean, that's classic Lakers, right? They're going to they're gonna make some multi-billion dollar trade, and somehow Giannis is going to end up as a 27-year-old playing with AD as... I mean, their bench... Did you see their... I forget how many damn people are sitting on their bench. Rajon Rondo, possibly Hall of Fame.
No, the whole thing is All-Stars. He's on the damn bench. The whole thing is former All-Stars.
Yeah. Dwight Howard.
Westbrook. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Yeah. It's like, it's crazy.
I don't know what's... I really don't know what's going to happen because I do think... I don't know who's in waiting. I don't mean on the Lakers, but just in the league. There's just so many people now.
How much longer does he play? 40?
No, I don't think so.
He's got three more years, right?
Yeah, but I think what's going to happen, and again, things have changed, right? Because now we do sort of time management, load management.
Mm-hmm.
They never used to do that. You just played till you were done, yeah. Right? I think what you're seeing right now is whether it's time management or load management or injuries, I mean, he's getting banged up more and more. And so if it happens again next year, okay, so that's 37, maybe 38. Kareem played till he was 40, and he looked, you know, he was terrible when he was 40.
Well, and that's the great thing about LeBron James is he can change his game to the point where he feels like he can.
Magic Johnson. But, I mean, I think we mislabeled. I take that back. I think LeBron James evolved so much during his time in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Because you think about it, Magic Johnson came into the NBA as Magic Johnson. Like, he was already the 6'9 facilitator, right? Yep. He wasn't a power dunking kind of guy, right? That's kind of how he came in. LeBron didn't come in that way, but again, if you sort of look at the way he plays more like a Magic Johnson. I think he evolved into that.
Yeah, well, and I don't think he evolved. I just think that's who he's been, but we've never given him credit as that player. I mean, when you lead your team and assist your entire career.
No, you're right. We're trying to, you know what we're doing.
Because Magic Johnson couldn't hit three-pointers. He couldn't shoot like LeBron James did. He couldn't. He was a great 6 to 12-foot guy, but he was a great facilitator. I'm not taking anything away from Magic Johnson.
No, you're right.
But Magic Johnson wasn't sinking eight threes in a football basketball game.
No, right.
So... He's got, and we might as well go here, he's got four NBA championships. He's the only basketball player in the history of the league. This is something to me I think is incomparable. I don't think you can ever compare anything else, and this is why I think LeBron James is the greatest basketball player I've ever seen. I'm sorry, Michael Jordan.
It's really good. I know
people go, well, he won just six championships and never lost one. Well, there was a couple times he didn't make it through the first round.
Right.
LeBron James went to 10 finals in a row, and he won championships with three different teams. What that tells me is that whenever he joins a basketball team, he makes the team so much better that they can win a basketball championship, and he did it in flipping Cleveland. I don't even know if Michael Jordan, I mean, we saw Michael Jordan go to Washington. It didn't happen.
No.
Now, it was later on in his career.
Okay.
But I just think that's amazing. That's like Nick Saban going to South Carolina and winning a national title. That's stupid, crazy, amazing that he did it in Cleveland. It should be pretty easy to do with the Lakers because of their financial resources, and certainly down in Miami, he had Bosch and Wade. But so is there anything at this point in his career? He's got four championships. A lot of people will never say he's as good as Michael Jordan unless he wins six.
Right.
Okay. It doesn't matter what he does. Right. He's got to win six. I don't know if he's got two more left in him.
They got to win this year.
They do.
Well, and plus you start thinking, listen, and this was, Kobe was similar. You start thinking at his age, you're like, okay, look at these people I got around me.
Yeah.
I got to, if they win this year, that's five, right?
Yeah.
Then he stays around.
Yeah.
Just because he doesn't have enough left to put the team completely on his shoulders.
Well, and then does he latch on to a team that has got the best shot to
don't
win a championship?
Don't do that.
Like Dwight Howard's been trying to do for like the last 15
it just
years
looks,
of his
it's
career.
A bad look. I mean, LeBron had a story.
Mm-hmm.
I get, you know, we all get the story, right? You keep it in Cleveland. And then he had to grow up, and Pat Riley talked about going like to college. I totally get that. Goes to Miami, right? It's like a successful the kid never went to college, right?
Yep.
Then he comes back to his hometown.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good story. It's a rough story, but it's a good story.
He doesn't have to do anything to prove it to me.
No, I'm just saying he can't leave.
And then for some people,
he can't leave.
And for some people, It doesn't matter what he does. He could win 12 championships. He'll never be as
You know
good
what
as
it is? This is a strange thing to me. And I'm, you know, I love basketball. I think the thing for me with LeBron, and this is, sounds so superficial, his game is not a pretty game.
LeBron's?
Yeah, it's not a beautiful game.
No.
And there's nothing wrong. It's just,
he is not poetry in motion like Michael Jordan was.
That's exactly. Well, Kobe was poetry in motion.
Yeah. He was, because he was thinner. And he wasn't so. I mean, LeBron works out. He's a monster.
That's right. But he's not so much a monster that he's a five. He can play the five, but he's not a post player.
Yeah.
I mean, he can play it, but he's a monster. But he's not a Shaq monster.
Yeah.
So he can't. Yeah. Totally yeah. I mean, I feel like we can't play him, and his game is not. It's amazing, but it's not beautiful. The Lakers make me nervous because it's like a company that's got too much venture capital,
mm-hmm.
right? It's the Dallas Cowboys. It's the, you know, you've got, there's no reason why they shouldn't win. And everybody's saying the same thing. The people who are saying they can't win are saying exactly this. Yeah, you got a bunch of great players, amazing players. They're old. And mm-hmm. the young guys don't have, it's really, and you know me, I'm a diehard Laker fan, but I've been watching. The young guys may not have the game smarts, but they're running their asses up and down the court.
Yeah.
It's a very, I mean, and Westbrook was my hope.
Yeah.
Because he's just like crazy and monster energy drink guy.
Just had his role was just shoot. Just shoot the right. basketball, make shots.
Yes. And now it's, yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay. Sorry.
Well, it just goes to show. I mean, you could take five. Well, you could take five of the best basketball players, and if there's no chemistry there, that's the amazing thing about.
Well, and chemistry. Listen, but by the way, I'm sorry. Chemistry doesn't mean that they hate each other.
No, they just don't work well together.
That's exactly.
And that's the amazing thing about Brooklyn. And if Kyrie would go get his damn vaccination, I think they could win for 3 or 4 years in a row because KD knows his role. He's the shooter. James Harden, to me, has been unbelievable in that he's willing to facilitate and take his points off it. He's got his money. And then Kyrie, but with the three of those guys, they're unbeatable. I really do. When all three of them play for a long period of time, I'll make an analogy. When we did the opening drive, Al Jay and myself.
Right.
When we were together for a long period of time, unbeatable.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was a lot of things going on because Jay had his things and Al was doing things, you know, with Sanford and I had Mike's stuff. And but when we were together for a 4 or 5 month period, unbeatable.
Yes.
The opening drive, we could not be beat. We were, and it just, it's like dating someone 3 times a week as opposed to dating once every 2 weeks. You just never really get in.
This is what's happening with them, right? Between injury.
Yeah, and then throw in an injury or two because
right.
you got three guys. If you could put those three together healthy for a year, over.
Right.
They go 80.
But they're not healthy.
Okay. Later on tonight, Joe Biden's going to do something that he has not done since he's been in the White House. You know what it is?
In the White House or in just the White House?
In the White House.
No.
He's going to do his first interview tonight on the Jimmy Fallon show. This is the first outside interview that he's done in the White House.
Wow.
Which is pretty. Now, he's done other interviews, but this will be the first time he'll be on late night television and the first time he's done something in that type of platform. He's done tons of, he's done 60 Minutes and stuff like that. And he's been
Did he do it as a vice president? I wonder.
I'm sure that he did something.
Because he's he's not a, what's the word?
People are freaking out.
Why? Like that he's going to like not be able to talk or something? He's going to fall asleep? He looks so tired.
He is tired.
He's tired. I mean, I know people are going to slam on this, but I just feel for him. He's like grandpa.
Yeah.
He's like grandpa, and you're just...
For his old-timey and sometimes cringeworthy attempts at humor.
Oh.
If you remember last month, before signing his $1.2 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill, that his wife, First Lady Jill Biden, might be having an affair with Vice President Kamala Harris's husband. When he said, these guys travel all over the country together, I'm getting worried, you know. People are like,
pause, crickets. I think Jill should join him.
Also, quipping in September while wooing teachers, union members, I sleep with an NEA member every night, referring to his wife.
Okay, now that's good.
Holy shit. That's...
Don't you think that's good?
Oh, I think it's hilarious, but you're not used to that coming from a 79-year-old.
We had Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, but Donald Trump's 79 is a lot different than Joe Biden's 79.
Right.
Also, while campaigning for the presidency, he shocked the New Hampshire audience by telling a woman that she was a lying dog-faced pony soldier. And what his aides insisted was a John Wayne-inspired joke rather than an insult. Also outraging listeners by joking, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or for Trump, then you ain't black.
Oh, I remember that one. You know what's so funny?
It's hilarious. It's great.
But like you know what it is? And this happened. We expected stuff like that from Donald Trump because it was all the time, or not all the time, but it was just part of his conversation. Whereas with Biden, you're like, whoa.
Joe needs to stick. See, by him doing that, I don't really think, and I know we had the whole picture scandal too, where he's got his hands on women, right? I don't think Joe is a creep. I don't think Joe is a creep. But I do think that Joe wants to be liked. I think Joe's incredibly insecure, and he wants to be a likable guy, and he wants to be like every American, which I think is a good quality in a president, and he tries to be funny, and he's not a funny guy.
Right.
And so when you try to do something that's outside your role, it comes across as creepy and kind of weird. Joe just kind of needs to stick to what Joe's doing. He doesn't need to be, he wants to be liked. I got news for you. He probably loses sleep at night knowing that only 41% of Americans think he's doing a good job.
See, I don't know, because he's been doing this for so long.
Don't
you know what I mean?
He's been doing it so long to get to this point. And I think Joe's a legacy guy. Joe wants to be remembered as a great president. That's the last thing he's got to prove in his life, in his professional life, to his wife, to everyone else.
Well, no, it's like the sixth championship.
And it ain't going real well
yet. That's the sixth championship.
Yeah.
Right? He's at the end.
This is his shot.
He has done it all.
It's not going the way he wanted to. And this is a bipartisan thing too. Republicans don't even need a hammer on Joe right now because the Democratic Party is doing it for him.
Right. Well, because you know what it is? Although he walked in, I was going to say it's walking in and then everybody gets injured, but it's not. He walked into the team, right? They brought him in. He is the old guy that they brought in. This is like bringing Michael Jordan to the Bullets. Okay. We're falling apart. We tried everything else. We're going to bring you in. People are going to get mad at me. Like, Joe Biden is not the GOAT. But you know what I'm saying. You can bring him in. He didn't come in and everything fell apart. And
a lot of people make an argument that this country, and certainly with COVID and everything else going on in the Afghanistan, there was a lot of things that he was going to catch hell for, regardless of what president was going to be.
Any president would have.
But you can make the argument, too, there was a lot of things that he could fix.
Yep.
Because our former president was so brash and in your face and separatist and Joe was going to have a big kumbaya and it ain't working.
No, but you know what it is? We talked about this on Fox.
We're not ready to get back together yet. No.
That's exactly.
We're not ready to make amends. We're not ready to stay. It's all good. But we still have a ton of separation in this country. And
isn't that interesting, though? That's interesting. I mean, no matter what he's doing, we're not in a good position. We're not ready to come together. Because we talked about yesterday, we're like 9-year-olds.
Yeah.
Go apologize. Yeah. You go apologize to the Republican.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to.
He has given just 18 interviews as president. He will be on the show later on tonight, 11:30, on the Jimmy Fallon show. Jimmy Fallon is a Joe Biden supporter, so I don't think he's going to be. I don't think he's going to throw softball questions, but he'll also probably have a pie stuffed in his face.
Right.
That's what Jimmy Fallon does. He's given far fewer interviewers than the six most recent predecessors at any point. Over the last six presidentials, who do you think, which president did the most interviews by November 30th?
How many? The last six?
The last six.
Bill Clinton.
Barack Obama. Clinton was outside the last six.
Oh, yes.
Obama had done 141 interviews.
Because we didn't.
He was on ESPN. He was everywhere.
Oh, that's right. I forgot the ESPN is his own brackets.
Donald Trump did 89 interviews. Ronald Reagan, who was shot in the lung, more than doubled Biden's first interviews. He did 46
by the same point
in his presidency.
He's a TV guy.
He was. George W. Bush had done 44 interviews. Yeah. And Joe Biden, this will
I mean, can 18th. You can, listen?
I'm going to watch.
Do you think it's got anything to do with, I don't know, let's just call it like, I don't know, optics? You know, we talk about this all the time, not in politics, but he comes in. We got social unrest. We got Afghanistan. We got a major pandemic. We got anything else?
Everybody, yeah, the immigration thing is a flipping absolute.
Okay, so we got this
travesty.
Mess, but do you think
he's got the Kamala Harris thing going on right now?
No. Yep. What I'm saying is, he walks into a shit show, yep. And any president would have walked into a shit show. What is the look that your team is going for? The reason I'm saying this about the interviews is it the hey, I'm busy, I'm hunkering down and doing things, versus I'm going to go out on all the late night shows and talk. And
a little bit of both.
You think it's not an...
I'm too busy. A lot of people don't think it's president-like to be on a late-night comedy show.
Right.
But that obviously changed a lot. You know, we had Bill Clinton playing the damn saxophone in Arsenio Hall, which I thought was awesome. And I think people like that.
Yeah.
But it depends on whether you like him or not. If things are going well, you appear and it's good. Right now, he's got the lowest approval rate that a president has had in a long time. And so I think there is going to be some a little bit of a damage control. I'm sure they'll throw a couple questions.
Yes.
Jimmy could sit there and pull the Hugh Grant thing. What the hell's happening?
That's
what the hell were you thinking? This could be the Jay Leno question. What the hell are you doing? He could just get it out of the way away.
I love it. It's not what the hell are you doing. I mean, again, if you're going to saw, I like... What the hell were you thinking?
Yeah.
And I could see, I'm not a president, I'd be like, I don't know, man. Like, I thought I could do.
No, he could just look at him and go, so Joe, how do you think it's going? And people will laugh.
Yeah.
You know, and I believe that's shot in LA, right?
Yes.
Jimmy Fallon's in LA. So,
is he in LA? He's in New York.
They go back and forth. So yeah, so how's it going, Joe? You know, there's going to be a smattering of laughter from that because it's been kind of tough. If you're one of Joe's handlers, though, and we know he wants to be liked, he's the one president. We went from a guy who didn't care what
one
you thought,
way,
narcissistic,
yes.
I don't give a shit what you think about me,
exactly.
to a president that probably is one of the guys that, at least in my generation, wants to be liked the most by people.
But do you see
Donald
that
Trump
when he was a senator, yeah. too? See, like, I didn't see that.
I did. He's always been a likable guy. That's
but
why he was
likeable.
So. That's why he was so good.
But likable versus sort of just I don't know his whole.
That's why he was such a great senator. That's why he's been doing it for so long.
Because he's likable,
yeah.
but not so much that he's just I don't know what the word is, pining for everyone to like him. Right? There's a difference. He's a likable guy. This is why he gave a eulogy at Bob Dole's thing. He's a career politician. Sounds now that's a bad thing.
And politicians like to be liked.
That's right.
Because
well,
they look for
Mitch
votes.
McConnell
they
wants
want
to
for
be liked.
Votes. I think some guys are too far gone. They're just
yeah,
like
I think
you
Mitch
know.
Mitch McConnell's
is
like 170 years old.
Yeah, he is.
But no, I agree. And Joe Biden looked like. Well, we're so polarized right now. They're so polarized. I mean, if you didn't vote for Joe Biden, then you. You absolutely think he's doing a horrible. You didn't want him in no matter what. There was no middle ground.
You're looking at 2024.
Yeah.
Which is going to be another talk of a shit
We're
show.
Not, we can't. We need somebody. This is like the Lakers. Mm-hmm. This is like, we need someone to come. We need someone to pop up. Well, we thought, some of us thought Kamala.
And see, I'm a college football fan. You got a coach in there that I may or may not like, but you're going to get my support, and I'm going to try to believe
right.
in what you're doing. And
you're
I can't believe you're taking this quarterback out in the middle of the second quarter of this game. But if that's what you think is best,
right. now you're,
and it doesn't directly affect me, now a lot of things he's doing is. I will tell you this: the stimulus checks.
Thank you. No, wait. Good or bad?
No, I. Man,
you don't want them?
No, I do. Of course, I do.
Okay.
And we're still getting child checks. You know, we're getting checks
good.
Every month. I don't know when they stop. I mean, I get a check every 15th of every month. And I said this a year and a half ago when they sent out the stimulus checks to everybody. You don't have to do that for me.
You're not right.
And I thanked the U.S. government, whoever was responsible for making this happen. I thanked them on this show.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, you don't have to do this for me. When I was unemployed. I felt horrible about even thinking about taking unemployment because I'm like, get your ass out there and go back to work. Go figure it out. There's jobs out there, Tony. You can do this. And I didn't feel, despite the fact that I've been paying into it for 40-something mm-hmm. years, I didn't feel very accountable or responsible for doing that. Had I got down to the point where I couldn't pay my bills or whatever, then maybe I'd looked at it. But I thought, I can figure this out. And I've never been – for guys particularly, we have a hard time asking for help. Mm-hmm. We do. It's just part of who we are. We want to figure it out. That's why we don't ask for flipping directions. I'll figure it out. We don't read instructions. We want to figure the stuff out. That's what guys do. Mm-hmm. We may not be very good at it, but that's what we do. And so I will say this, with the pandemic and we're in a marketing and communication business, that is something that I'm like, thank you. That's the gift that comes in. And I know a lot of people feel that way. Now, some people don't want to work because they're getting, I don't need to work. And when this runs out, then you gotta stay after it. But I think we've never seen that ever.
We've never had a.
I've never seen that.
Dude,
I got a $6,000 check.
Because we haven't had a pandemic.
And I was like, yeah, I know.
I mean, seriously, if we had not had, they'd done stimulus checks before, but I think what we tend to forget because we're trying to adapt is. This is a global pandemic that carries on is like, it's like a global war.
Yeah.
Like it's something we have had wars. We have had natural disasters. We've had all these things. We've had unrest, but we've never had in our generation. Again, the reason I keep saying that is because in 1917, you had a pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about the pandemic is, it is global. It's affecting everybody and everything from health to distribution. So, like, we really don't have anything to compare to. I mean, think about it. You and I are sitting here, and people can bitch and moan and complain. And blah, 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 blah. We're sitting here, and we still are sitting here, and we were 2 years ago. 2 years mm-hmm. ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not yeah. 2 months ago, we were like, okay, this is Curry and Klepo. We're sitting 6 feet apart. We're shutting it down because we're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
We should all be okay. 2 years.
And I'm telling you,
isn't
man.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, that is crazy.
We have tried to figure it out on our own, and we have not done a very
we're
good
not.
Job of it. And I heard Fauci come out yesterday and saying, right now you're fully vaccinated if you have the two. But it's in order to say fully vaccinated, you're going to have
three.
To get the booster. And I don't know. I know you have. But I don't know too many people that have gone and got the third because they're like, I've got my two.
Do what you want, dude.
Yeah, you got it. But
I mean, like, come
it's
on.
Coming. It's coming again, man. It's coming
well,
again.
We're going to probably get a fourth.
Yeah. And what I see it happening is I don't know if we're ever going to have like a Delta variant. I'm trying to figure this out from a devil standpoint. The devil
okay.
was
what about
the
Omicron?
But the Omicron. Well, we know the Omicron. It will, at least what we know so far,
yes.
based on our scientists,
yes.
is it's not nearly as bad as
no,
the Delta
and the
variant.
Pfizer. It looks like we're getting.
But
some
the
good
problem is I think we're going to dumb this variant down to the point where it's going to feel like the flu. We're not going to have as many hospitalizations, but we're still going to have a pandemic with it.
Yes.
So it's not going to be killing off as many people. We're still losing 1,000 lives a day, which is stupid crazy. 1,000 people a day are dying,
not due to car accidents.
No. So it's still there, but 1,000 is not nearly as bad as 8,000
Well, it's like we used to do what we talk about when we do the shootings.
Yeah.
How many people died?
Yeah. It's crazy.
You know what? I watched last night. You know, we talk about the well.
Yeah.
Well, so they interviewed a woman who had been in the hospital. She was still in the hospital.
Yeah.
This was her second admission for COVID. Mm-hmm. She's in her 60s. And she was not on a ventilator or whatever, but she was in there again. And they said, you know, how you doing? Well, I'm doing okay. I'm getting better. She's on oxygen and whatever. And in the interview, the reports only said, you know, has this made you change your mind about getting vaccinated? This is the second time since she's in there. And most of the interviews they do that way, the person's there like, yeah, I wish I would have gotten vaccinated. Or even now I think I'll get vaccinated. I know she's like, nope, no. And it wasn't like a political nope. She's like, nope. And he said, why not? You know, like he was kind of like, why not? This is your second time. She's like, we want it. She's like, well, and there was a pause. She's like, well,
well,
you know what? And he's like, what? It's just not for me.
Yeah.
It's just not for me.
There you go. Okay.
Okay.
We had a couple things happen in 2021 that has never happened before in the United States. We had more deaths than births.
Yeah,
that the first time in the history of this country, we had more people dying.
Isn't that crazy?
In a weird kind of way, I think that's good.
It's population control in a bad. That's like having, you know what it's like?
I was kind of like.
It's having a stomach virus and you lose 10 pounds.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And
then
you're like, this is not the best way
and
to
then you
do.
Put it back on probably in about a week and a half.
Yeah.
It's all water weight.
Yeah.
No, I when I heard that, I was like, good. Because we're adding more people, and as we add more people, we have more things and more people to feed. And it's, I'm like, okay, maybe this is, you know what, this is a market correction. This is God's market correction with the corona.
Right.
And in the state of Alabama, it held true as well.
Yeah.
And we obviously have a different birthing rate here in the South because we love to be intimate.
Well, we also, yeah.
We're like rabbits down here, man.
Yeah, well,
and
birth control is immoral.
Exactly.
Right.
We're after it right here.
You know what this
we're
is?
Here to procreate.
It's natural selection.
Exactly. In a way, it really is. I can't believe you just said that, by the way.
It is, man. We're
Dr. Josh just said it's natural selection. If you're, we're thinning the herd out. It's a market correction.
Okay,
we're gonna find out.
Totally
we're gonna find out who wants to play the game.
And who's working with John Gray?
He's working with John
Gray. You ain't, John Gray, Driscoll Gray, and if you're not,
yep.
Your ass is gonna
go
be
ahead
dead.
And buy your penny stock. Yep. Good luck to you. I'm gonna invest in Coca-Cola and Budweiser. And it appears that 2020 in this state more deaths than births, yeah. And it appears that it's gonna be the same for 2021. And we're also finding out that cigarette sales
gone up.
Went up for the first time in 20 years last year.
Did prices go up, you think?
Prices have always gone up, but it had nothing to do with price.
Of course not.
It's just more people are
People are like, you know, we keep talking about sort of, and I'm not getting serious on you here. I'm going to stay light. But, you know, people talking about the mental health crisis that we're having and we're going to have.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, you can get serious. Yes, it is absolutely the case. But if you bring it down just a little bit and you say, okay, let's not talk about people who are going to clinically depressed and PTSD and suicide and all those horrible things. We're losing our shit. we are slowly, it's like slowly taking in pollution, right? We're still functioning. We're drinking. We're smoking. And we're eating bad food. We're sitting around. We're yelling at each other. And so it's like it's all these things that not any one of them will either take you out or is a major crisis thing that you're looking at.
Yeah.
You know, like
but it could be.
Well, but you just put it together, and yeah. You're watching people, and you know, they talk. I get asked this question all the time. Why is everybody so mad at each other?
Yeah, we did something on Fox 6 yesterday.
Yeah, why is everybody so mad at each other? Because we're a hot mess.
Yeah,
we're just. I mean, we are collectively a hot mess. You know what else is interesting about this? You know, your family's in Cincinnati, Ohio area. Mm-hmm. My family's all on the West Coast. If you've got family and friends who live in different regions of the country, and I say regions, not in the state next over. Talk to them about like what's going on there. Mm-hmm. What's really interesting to me is everybody is losing their shit, but they're kind of losing it for different reasons depending on where you live.
Sure.
Because LA and San Francisco, now they're breaking and entering into like, the Rodeo Drives, and they're pulling shit out, and they have huge homeless problem there. That so my brother's telling me about stuff. He got his partner got held up at gunpoint, and they broke us up. And here, I mean, I don't know what our problems are here. Do we have any problems here?
No, we just pray to God we're good.
Well, unless you're Auburn.
Speaking of smoking, New Zealand yesterday announced plans to ban anyone born after 2008.
Just to ban them? Sorry.
That's what they're doing.
What do you mean?
From ever being able to buy cigarettes or smoking tobacco products.
Yeah, okay.
They are, this is the most.
The Kiwis are going after
if
it.
If you want to smoke, you're going to have to move. They're phasing out smoking on the island by 2025.
So just,
this ain't like 2050, this 2060.
That's interesting.
They're phasing the crap out in 3 years. The proposed legislation, which is expected to become law next year, will gradually raise the smoking age over decades until it covers the entire population. What they're doing is they're saying anyone over the age of 14, because it's 2008, can't even First of all, over the age of 14, because it's anything over 2008, if you're born 2008. People who already smoke will be allowed to continue to do so, but nicotine levels and available tobacco products are going to be reduced.
Oh, that's good.
The number of retailers authorized to sell cigarettes will be cut drastically, and the price will more than triple for a pack of cigarettes. They've already...
Yeah, we've tried
here. It's like, I think it's like $14 for a pack of cigarettes.
Here. Yeah.
Well, at some point, there's a price point, but we know that if you're an addict, then you end up stealing.
So
you
what? Go ahead.
It's a historic day for health of our people, the Associate Health Minister said in a statement. We want to make sure that young people never start smoking, so we'll make it an offense to sell or supply smoke tobacco products to new cohorts of youth. People age 14, when the law comes into effect, will never be able to legally purchase tobacco. So once you're 14, it doesn't matter how old you are from that point on, you won't be able to buy cigarettes. But if you're already smoking, you're grandfathered in until you die, and by allowing no one over the age of 14,
but then why don't they just get rid of cigarettes then? I mean, at some point, right? Because if no one can use them.
Shares of tobacco companies were seemingly unaffected by the announcement, with Philip Morris stock flat in the pre-marketing trading of shares of British American Tobacco. But the problem is, you know, what happens then? What happened during Prohibition?
Oh, yeah. It's black market cigarettes.
There's going to be black market cigarettes because people want to smoke their cigarettes. Basically, 11% of New Zealanders smoke, which I don't know how that compares to the United States. I know it's been down for a long time, although the numbers are finally up again. Kudos to the vaping people. Boy, they had a great idea. It's going to blow up in their face. It's going to blow up in their face, but boy, that was a money grab while they could. We're going to do this thing, and we're going to get out of it, and we're going to market it to kids, and we're going to get after it. We're going to make everything we can until they shut our ass down. We're going to pay our fines, and then we're going to go start something else.
You know what
this
is? This is we talked about this in an upcoming...
Would you do that? Would you be part of that?
Well, this is what? We talked about this in the next...
We're going to have a two-year window where we're going to push this stuff down their throats. No, we're going to put fruit in it. We're going to do everything we possibly can. No. Then we're going to get the hell out.
No, I would not. No.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, because I know what it is. I mean, if you ask me about...
The opiate industry is a lot like that. Although their window is a little longer.
Well, but it's easier with vaping, right? Because you're not opioids. You're dealing on the prescription side. This is what it'll be, a show that comes out. We just taped it yesterday. This is mergers and acquisitions, and we talked about on Adapter Parish. We talked,
which airs on Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock. Help me out here, man.
Sorry,
Tuesday night 8 o'clock. Tell people the show you do.
It's a great show. It's a great show, and we actually mash up. Now we're doing this. We mash up the parallels between business, business practices, and the world of rock and roll. I mean, it's just, I think neither Dr. Hubline, Alex, nor I ever thought about it this way until we started thinking about it this way. And the parallels are incredible. And in an upcoming show, we talk about mergers and acquisitions. Now you're like, I don't want to listen about mergers and acquisitions. Yes, you do. Because you want to, we talk about it in the role of, or in the parallel to, super bands like the Damn Yankees, mm-hmm. and Cream. But one of the things we're talking about in this show is when you do a merger or an acquisition, sometimes you're doing it to like build this great thing that will last forever.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a money grab.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, okay, you get together. It's the super team. We're going to do this. We're going to pull these three things together. We're going to get these entities.
It's the NBA.
Exactly, and we're gonna win. And again, if it's young enough, we'll win for 5 years. But you know what? No. We're gonna grab it. We're gonna put it together. We're gonna triple our profit margin. We'll go from 1x to 10x, and we're gonna do it in 2 years. And then we'll see. Then whatever happens after that, our investors are good. We're done.
Yeah.
There are some mergers and acquisitions the same way. Well, it's vaping. Do you think vaping thought it wasn't gonna last for a long time?
No, well, not based on what we know about it now.
The vaping industry thing. Well, because it started off electric cigarettes, right?
Well, yeah, it was. I mean, and at one point, they were trying to do it like the same way cigarettes were. This is healthy for you. It cleans out your lungs. No, it doesn't. Right. I mean, it doesn't. I mean, and it's, again, it's, what I don't like is I don't like whenever someone introduces a vice.
You're right.
That's not even advice, because, well, you could say sexual addiction, I guess. Yeah.
No, but you're right.
But you don't start buying sex toys and all of a sudden you're addicted to sex toys. There's not that chemical balance with vaping. There's a nicotine aspect of it. And so whenever you're introducing a new vice, What? Those little bubble cards, those little things with the bubbles that all the kids, what do they call them? The pop boards. My daughter can't get enough of these pop boards, and they were created as a fidget,
right,
or one of these spinning things.
Oh, yes.
For kids who had anxiety, and then they turned into toys.
Well, now
people can't stop buying these $1.50, and now they're like $20 for one of these popping. They just sit there and just pop them.
Oh,
yeah.
Now you're creating OCD.
It's just, yeah, oh, I know,
great.
Right?
Oh, great. Well, actually.
We used to call it twiddling our thumbs. We'd sit there and go like this or tap the table.
Yeah.
But now you have to give them something to play with. And it's kind of like we're creating a mess. Because my kid used to never have any problems. We used to twiddle our thumbs. That's right. What we used to do. We used to play with our thumbs. And I'm like, and it was cheap. That's what we did, right? And then
in lieu
of helping kids deal with their anxiety, we're creating a shit ton more anxiety by them having to find something to stick their fingers through for 15 minutes.
I was just going to say, because you know the difference is? When you were twiddling your thumb, first of all, do you remember the first time your parents, I don't know about you, but it was, I'm bored. Yeah. I'm bored, and my mom said, "Well, go twiddle your thumbs." Yeah.
I was never bored. I always had things to do, but I was a leg shaker.
How did you know to twiddle your thumbs? Did someone tell you to? Did your mom?
No,
say,
I just did.
Oh, okay. I was bored. I was whining.
Yeah.
I'm bored. I don't want to do this. And my mom's like, "Just go twiddle your thumbs."
Yeah.
You know, and there's one of those moments. I must have been like 8 or 9. I'm like, "What is that?"
Yeah.
And she did this. You know, she showed me what it meant, and I was like, "Well, that's no fun."
Yeah.
Right. But then there was no alternative
other
than shut up. So now what we've done is, okay,
we used to dig holes.
Yeah. Twiddle your thumbs. But now we're giving you all these actually pretty engaging things and they're cheap. So when one is done, then you get to move to another. So you never learn how to sit with boredom or sit.
I'll tell you what, you know, you're in trouble
when
your daughter who's 9 years old is bored with her phone.
Yeah.
Man, when my daughter's on her phone, I've told her, get on your phone. Go play a game or something. I tell my daughter to go play. I'm like, when she's on her phone and she says, I'm bored, then I know that.
You know what you do then?
We got to go hiking or go for a walk.
You go out. We did this with our son. He wanted to only play video games. This is a classic in the South. Summer, hotter than you know what, right?
Yeah.
And you're trying to tell your child to go play outside,
mm-hmm.
right? And you, even you as a parent feel somewhat hypocritical because it sucks outside, right? But he was complaining he was bored. All he was doing was watching movies or whatever. We're like, you need to go outside. And
play.
There's no friends were around. Go play. And we're both psychologists. I'm like, Jules, this is going to be fascinating. Let's see. It was like a Mutual of Omaha, Wild Kingdom. Because we sent him in the backyard. Look, what will he do? Will he come back to the door or not? So he went out there. God, I wish I had this on videotape. And he, much like an animal, he was standing there.
By the door wanting to come
in. And he was upset at first. He was stomping, you know. And we're like, no. Just let him go. It's okay. We're both licensed. It's okay. Let's see what happens. And, you know, my backyard's pretty big and woodsy. So then he took a rock and he threw it, you know, because he's still like whatever. And then he took a rock and I guess I saw him throw it and it hit a stick. I remember he's like, then he picked up the stick. Then he picked up the stick and hit the tree. I'm like, Jules, look, he's adapting.
Now
he's engaging in natural play.
Yeah.
And it was so funny because he went from video games, whatever, to, you know, and I said, look, it's innate, primitive play behavior, and thank God it's still there. And I do think that particularly if kids are young, by the time he gets 15, I mean, dude, when you were 15, I don't know about you and me, like you didn't go play outside.
Yeah.
We didn't play outside. But your kids are 8, 7, 8, 9, 10, and they're whining to you, they're bored, make them go outside. You can watch them, right? It's not enough free range. Make them go outside. Don't give them any implements.
We're pretty good at doing that.
Your family is.
Yeah, because if I say go outside and play, then they'll go out and figure something out. They dig holes. We used to turn our bicycles upside down and just spin the wheel.
We did. I know, see,
turn the bicycle upside down, just spin the wheel, and stick our fingers in
anything.
It. Make mud pies. I mean, we were.
You ever put playing cards in your spokes so they sound like a motor?
Sure. Yeah, take your worst baseball card you could and put it under it. Yeah.
Do you have a big wheel?
Oh, yeah, I had a big wheel.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I had a big wheel.
With the hand, do you have one before the handbrake?
No, I had the original, man. We just,
but then did you get one with a handbrake when it came out?
No, I liked the one I had because I could skid on my own.
Oh.
Yeah, I was How'd mad. You do I it? A stinking handbrake.
What'd you use to skid?
Put your foot down.
Oh, yeah. But the handbrake, I'll let you do donuts.
Oh, yeah, get after it.
Okay.
Chris Doris, the State Farm team. I went and saw Chris Doris. They do
he
a fantastic.
Could, he could insure your big wheel.
He could. 95-7799, 95-7799. Chris Doris, the State Farm team. They do insurance, and they've been out there, and their brand is fantastic. And a lot of people think that if you're going to get a brand name, you're going to have to pay a lot more for it. You're not. They have budgets for anything and anybody, whether you're a renter, a homeowner, or anything else. I've been with them since 1988. Stopped by and saw them. That's the one thing. Picked a great business because we're always going to need insurance, right? You make toilet paper, you're always going to be in business because we're always going to need toilet paper, which was created, by the way, in 1871.
Oh, I think you said Chris Doris created it.
No, but I mean, when you're when you think maybe you need some toilet paper because you're into it deep, if you know what I'm talking about, insurance, what you're going to need, and you're going to need insurance. We need insurance in our life because accidents do happen, particularly when you're driving cars or you have houses or your fire thing is going off in the middle of the night, or you know, or someone, you know, an elf is blowing an air horn, it scares the shit out of you. Check him out, 205-95-7799, 205-95-7799. It's Chris Doris, the State Farm team. Talk about another one of our great sponsors. Before we do that, don't forget later on tonight, Damon Johnson Show right here, 8 o'clock on Tony Curry Radio. Download the Tony Curry Radio app. It's free. You don't have to follow anybody, privacy stuff, blah, blah, blah. Just tap it. You're good to go. It's classic rock 24-7. We kill it on weekends. People love listening to us on weekends for hours on end. Every Friday is Damon Johnson Friday, so his show now airs at noon and 8 on Friday.
Right.
And we will archive all these shows, and you'll be able to binge listen to them. It's a great show. Next week he's going to be doing the top 6 artists that are not in the Rock and Roll of Fame, and Dolly Parton made that list. You imagine what song do you think, and it was not 9 to 5. What song, because he picks a song from each of the artists, what song do you think from Dolly Parton do you think he'll play on the show next Friday? I told him, I said, dude, I said, you're going to make me play Dolly Parton. He started laughing. He said, yeah. And he's like,
is it
Dolly
not what I'm going to think it is? Because I was going to say Jolene.
Could be.
Okay.
Yeah, Jolene on Tony Curry Radio sounds pretty cool.
Well, it's better
cool.
than Islands in the Stream. oh, no.
He said Dolly Parton is the flipping goat.
And she is.
And his go-to is, I will put my boots on and put them on Paul McCartney's coffee table and tell him he's full of you know what if he doesn't agree with me. And I love that. So that show. And then the week after is going to be the Friday before Christmas. We're doing the top 6 Christmas songs that Damon Johnson loves. We'll get into that coming up later on today, 8 o'clock. All you got to do is download the Tony Curry Radio app. Again, it's free. Thanks to the thousands and thousands and thousands of folks who've already done that. It's fantastic, and you can listen to us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, wherever your phone is. It's great. Talk about another one of great sponsors. We'll play a couple of classic rock songs on the Tony Curry Radio app and back on Facebook Live in a second.
All right, we're running out of time. Running out of time before holiday time comes, and you're probably figuring out what am I going to get. We got distribution issues. Are my toys going to get here? Are my gifts going to get here? What you can do is go to Woodhouse Day Spa. They're located right up at the Summit, 905-7676. And first of all, go in and get yourself a massage, manicure, pedicure, facial, any sort of sleep treatment. And then get something for somebody else. They have all kinds of products and services that you can buy right there. Or you can go online, birmingham.woodhousespas.com, birmingham.woodhousespas.com. And one of the things you can do, if you can't figure out what you want to get somebody, you can get them a beautiful, this is a work of art gift certificate. This is not a cheesy thing that just says, here's a gift for you. Absolutely beautifully done gift certificates that you can email to that person or you can print it out. It's birmingham.woodhousespas.com, birmingham.woodhousespas.com, and they are a great partner. Again, it's Woodhouse Day Spa.
Tony Curry Radio, you're home for the Curry and Klapo Show, and of course, Classic Rock the Bone. Later on tonight, the Damon Johnson Show. It's Damon Johnson Friday right here on Tony Curry Radio, so you can hear his show at noon and 8 right here on Tony Curry Radio. We have In Memoriam. I want to go through our list because we only have a few more shows here before I know you're going to be leaving. Tell everyone where you're going over the holiday season and if you think it's actually going to happen.
Jeez, it's every day. So we're leaving next week for England. My son is in school there. This is what happens as your kids grow up and they move away. First they move like to St. Louis and Charleston, and then they go to freaking England. So we've been saving, and we are taking a 2-week Christmas trip to England. It is a So we have never, as long as we've been a family and as long as I've been with my wife, mm-hmm. I've never been on a trip that lasted 2 weeks.
Yep.
I've been like a week, what is it, the 7 days, 3 days, five nights, 3 days kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we've never done that. I think I've told you when the Claypos travel, we call ourselves the Claypons.
Claypons,
like the Griswolds.
Sounds like tampons is what it
is. No, but
like,
it is the Griswolds. And there is, we'll video. There are some, you know.
Really? You're going to do video posts?
No, not post. Like, you know how you kind of got your Curry family with the kids and you got your, kind of your thing. You always talk about your kids, you know, pissing off the end of the deck and doing the Christmas lights and digging holes and kind of stuff. I mean, your kids are younger.
Yeah.
We kind of have. We're not pissing off the end of the deck, but there's some like family dynamics things such that my daughter, when I was in Charleston, visiting her, she's like, "Dad, can we talk?" Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're 9 year old, only mine's 20. She's like, "This is going to be a long time for the Claypos to be together." I'm like, "Yeah."
I'm like, find your time, man.
What?
Find your time. Have your escape route.
Well, that's exactly what she's like. I love y'all. And I said, I love you too, sweetie. She's like, I don't know, when we get back, I may kind of leave and not hang around Birmingham for New Year's.
Who said this?
Adair.
Oh.
My daughter. Because she's like, you know, I'm 20 now. It's like, I know. And she's like, and we're going to be together a lot.
Yeah, good.
A lot. And I said, that's fine. You don't want to hang out with Jules and I? We go to bed by 10.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I will be gone in Europe. This is assuming that my PCRs and... LFTs and
NFTs,
APTs. God, the amount of stuff I'm gonna have to shove in my nose.
Jeez, dude.
Well, you know, nowadays that's just a swab.
Yeah.
And carry around and have access to. I have my 40 masks. I'm ready to go. I got my protein bars.
40 is not gonna be enough for you, bro.
No, that's just for me. This is for everybody.
You may not be able to get back in the country.
Yeah, I could get stuck there.
I got news for you.
You don't think so? You think we? We don't shut it down here. We don't shut it down here.
At, airports, you do.
Yeah.
You hope like hell that you don't have a false negative.
No,
a false positive.
I know. I'll just keep taking tests.
2021, we lost a ton of people. I always, this is a car wreck kind of thing because I don't ever want to see someone die. But you're like, oh, yeah. One of those moments. For 2021, Stephen Sondheim was the Tony Award winner for so many great Broadway. And I know they went dark for 60 seconds the other night.
Yeah.
Obviously, just passed away. Dean Stockwell died on November 7th. He was in Dune, Blue Velvet, To Live and Die in L.A., Beverly Hills Cop 2, Married to the Mob. Had an Oscar nomination, Battlestar Galactica, which my brother loved. It's Peter Scolari. Had a 2-year battle with cancer. He was Tom Hanks' buddy in Bosom Buddies. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
Was also the TV producer opposite Bob Newhart on The Newhart Show.
I didn't know that.
And also won himself an Emmy as Best Comedy Guest Actor for Girls. Willie Garrison, co-starred in Sex and the City, White Collar Guy. By the way, Sex and the City, the new reincarnation is coming out, and that is getting absolutely hammered. Norm MacDonald passed away on September 14th, age of 61. No one knew that he had cancer. Cast member of Saturday Night Live. Michael K. Williams. The 4-time acting nominee of the Emmys for Bessie, Night of, When They See Us, and Lovecraft Country. He passed away. Ed Asner passed away in August at the age of 91, 7-time Emmy Award winner. The most acting wins of any male performer.
Interesting.
You realize that?
No.
Of all actors on television, he won more Emmys than any
other male
actor.
I mean, it's not surprising, but I didn't know.
The Mary Tyler Moore Show, Lou Grant, Roots, Rich Man, Poor Man, was inducted into the Television Academy Hall of Fame back in 1996. Charlie Watts of the Rolling Stones died August 24th, along with Mick Jagger and Keith Richards. He was the only member of the band to perform all of the studio albums. Don Everly, of the other Everly Brothers, and I remember Paul McCartney was talking about when him and John, and by the way, John passed away 41 years ago, on the 8th of this past week.
Wow.
And so Paul's been all over the news. But he said, growing up, we wanted to be the Everly Brothers. They were super cool. They were super clean. They were nice guys. They were a great writing duo. They were brothers.
Crooners.
They were crooners, big time. Marky Post Night Court, Fall Guy, and Hearts of Fire. Good looking lady. She died at the age of 70. Dusty Hill.
Yeah.
This is one of those things where, you know, you have to find silver linings, but because of Dusty Hill's passing, we have the show called Blues Almighty that runs every Thursday night. And I know he listens, but I want to thank J.D. Lyons. Yes, I was talking to someone yesterday about these shows that we do here on Tony Curry Radio. This is not a commercial, but you'll like it. We do the Adapter Parish with Adapter Gent, and we do, you know, Live Wire Wednesday and Blues Almighty and the Damon Johnson Show. And I was thinking back. He's like, how did this one start? And how did this one start? And how did this one start? Yeah. And every one of those shows was not something that I implemented. It wasn't something where I want to do this. The AC/DC thing was because I've always wanted to do that. But I was like, you know, Dusty Rivers, a good friend of mine I sit at church with. That's how I met Dr. Alex Hublein. Yeah. And then we do, you know, Adapter Parish. Dusty Hill's passing was a situation where I knew Austin Hanks, but I hadn't talked to him in 30 years. Mm-hmm. And J.D. Lyons, who's a guy who loves our radio station, mm-hmm. wants to work on the radio station. He's a ring announcer. He works MGM. He's a great boxing guy. He lives down in Delray, Florida. He was the one that called me up and said, listen, I know Austin Hanks. You know, he plays in Billy Gibbons' Big Bad Blues Band. I was like, oh, it's just amazing the connections you make.
You're right.
And how you have to stay out there and continue to make those connections because big things happen that way. Ned Beatty. Died in June, the age of 83. Of course, his first acting role ever was in Deliverance. How would you like to have the first acting role? Are you going to be in this movie with Burt Reynolds? It's killer. You're also going to get raped in the woods. And you're going to be fat. They're going to make you squeal like a pig. What? All the President's Men, Nashville, Superman, Hear My Song, Toy Story 3, Friendly Fire, Last Train Home, Homicide, Life on the Street, and, of course, also an Oscar nominee for Network. He's big time. Gavin McLeod.
Oh, Captain Stupid.
Love, exciting and new.
Yeah.
The Mary Tyler Moore Show. Yeah. Love Boat, McHale's Navy, The Andy Griffith Show, The Dick Van Dyke Show, Hawaii 5-0, Hogan's Heroes, Touched by an Angel, Murder, She Wrote. He was in all those, man.
He was in Hogan's Heroes?
He was.
Okay.
Charles Grodin.
Oh, yeah.
I love him.
Yeah.
I loved him. The Heartbreak Kid, Heaven Can Wait, Seems Like Old Times. That was Seems Like Old Times, man. Heaven that was a wait. Great movie. Heaven Can Wait was a great movie. That was a great movie for its time. Now, I don't know if you showed it to your kids now. Maybe like Jaws are like, what the hell? That was a great movie. I remember seeing that in the theater.
Yeah.
Charles Grodin, man, just so dry in his wit. Norman Lloyd, who was an actor and producer. He did Dead Poets Society, The Age of the Innocents, did St. Elsewhere. He died. He was 106.
Well, good for him.
Passed away. By the way, you ever wonder why seems like politicians live so long, or we just hear about them? Dude, Bob Dole was 91 years old.
Yeah, they live a long time.
Jimmy Carter?
Purpose.
Is that what it is?
Purpose.
Or is it politics? You would think politics would knock a lot of guys out early.
Well, I think it knocks you out. It doesn't kill you. It knocks you out of politics.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yeah, that's right.
Use that for Instagram today. I think
that's a little overused.
DMX, the rapper-songwriter, died at the age of 50. And by the way, Demaryius Thomas, did you see that story?
The
Super Bowl winning.
Yes, yeah.
Guy is one of only four guys in NFL history.
I saw this one.
To have a certain number of catches and yards and do it with different teams. Passed away at the age of 33 yesterday.
Yeah, they found him dead.
Crazy stuff. We have here? Jessica Walter. She was an Emmy.
Last year?
Huh?
Bozeman.
I'll get to it.
Okay.
George Siegel.
Oh, yeah.
The Owl and the Pussycat. Fun with Dick and Jane, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf was huge. Mary Wilson. Of course, of the Supremes.
Oh, yeah.
She was one of the founders, along with Diana Ross and Florence Ballard. The group was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Christopher Plummer was 91. The Last Station, All for the Money in the World, was a Tony Award winner and won twice in the Primetime Emmys. Cicely Tyson. Died January 28th, the age of 96. She was an Oscar nominee for Best Actress in Sondra, received an honorary Oscar in 2018. Cloris Leachman, she passed away. Hal Holbrook died. Larry King.
Oh.
Died this year. This the look on your face.
Were any of them from COVID?
I'm
just curious. Not because I want, like.
I don't think any of them were from COVID.
I'm just wondering if COVID.
He interviewed over 25,000 people, yeah, including actors, actresses, politicians. Larry King, you can still see. There's some.
He's got commercial. An infomercial for prostate stuff.
I know, it's
stuff.
Terrible.
Oh, it's so bad. Well, because he was him. Like, he, I don't know the word. It's not that he was bad.
Yeah.
But just his look and his style, it worked for Larry King. He was a great interviewer, but when you see him on an infomercial, it's just not a good look.
No, because it's an infomercial.
Well,
he's selling crap.
Yeah.
And I guess later on in life. The way he did his wife, though, man.
Seven.
What was he married? Six or seven times?
Yeah, the way he had like a 4-year-old kid when he was 80.
The way he left his wife was like.
What did he do?
He just stopped and split. Said, I don't want to be married with you anymore and didn't give her anything.
Did you see Smollett got convicted yesterday?
Yeah, I did.
That's some crazy. I don't want to talk, but
that is.
I mean, they're gonna appeal, but by what psychologically he was, is like. We Julie and I were like,
by what he was trying to accomplish, and how it absolutely blew up, not only in his face but in the face of the cause that he was trying to push through, because there's going to be a lot of people now that have that unprecedented moment of a famous person who he said was beaten and mugged because he was black, and some of the things he told them to say to him is going to put a doubt in everyone's mind from this point on whenever a white cop pulls over a black man or anything else. I'm just telling you, it's because we for people that don't believe that there's interracial issues in this country or anywhere in the world.
Well, you got your head in the sand.
Yeah, you can sit you can sit there and say, well, they may just be saying that because, well, now you have your point. Now you have the guy, you have the financial wherewithal to pull this off. And the fact that he tried to deny it all the way to the point where he's convicted was like,
well, this
dude.
This
was a famous dude. I knew who this guy was. I'm like, why?
That's the part we were talking about. I mean, the
why, man? You had the world by the balls. You were ready to go.
I mean, it's one thing to do it for a cause, but like this is just some bizarre psychological problem. I mean, like, I don't even know what the word, there's not a diagnosis for it. The other thing that's interesting is because he perjured himself, right, on the witness stand.
Yeah.
And so he basically lying to a judge. And so the judge obviously is going to have discretion about a sentencing. But when you lie to a judge, that's a bad, you're not supposed to lie anyway.
Yeah.
When you lie to, this has got to be one of the most, minus the Alec, this is the most bizarre thing. The Alec Baldwin thing, let me just say this. What's scary about that is you played it out. You described what might have happened. We still don't know.
Yeah.
But it may end up playing out as like some bizarre conspiracy thing.
And the upside, he had so much upside.
I know.
I mean, I'm like, and I guess, was he doing it for attention? Was he doing it to get more roles is my understanding, right? He was doing it so he would be lauded as a person who made it through and pointed out the.
I mean, they got to do so. Whether he's in jail or not, we need Barbara. Is Barbara Walters dead?
No, I think she's still alive.
We need Barbara Walters or, no, you know, this is, this is
Oprah,
the
Oprah, Oprah thing,
the
yeah.
Oprah interview. Because we want to know, and I mean, maybe he will tell us.
He just wasn't getting enough attention.
No, but we want to know, was that it? Like, what? Because you can do all kinds of things to get attention.
Yeah, be in an HBO series that is won Emmys and Oscars. I mean, I don't know what else the guy wanted in life.
I think there's a lot of severe psychiatric shit.
There has to be, right?
Yeah. I mean, I am speechless. I'm speechless because I can't figure out what diagnosis this would be or what you would describe this, because you literally, it's the closest thing I can run is delusional. Is delusional.
It has a lot of doubt in something that quite frankly, the scales have tipped here, and it adds doubt to anyone that ever makes an accusation against any situation like this.
Yeah, again, well,
he did it.
I got friends who are lawyers, but like this is where lawyers are gonna have a field day. Anytime, how do we know it's not the Smollett precedent?
No doubt. And that's what a good lawyer does.
I know.
Shows doubt. You were talking about lying to a judge, too.
I mean,
you can lie to lawyers, you can lie on the stand, you can do anything, but you lie to a judge.
Directly.
Directly. That's not a good look, and that's never going to go down. And if you've ever been in a court of law, and I have been. A good lawyer, just prepare yourself, a good lawyer always asks yes and no answered questions.
Of course.
And in most of their questions, they do this on purpose.
Yes.
There really isn't a clear-cut yes or no answer.
And then they yell at you.
And then when you say yes, but, or no, but.
Thank you.
Then the judge goes, it's a yes or no answer, answer yes or no. And by doing that, then it gets to the point where
you can
you're like,
the fifth,
I
you?
Did I did this, but if I hadn't done this, I was going to die. Well, yes, I did that. Okay. And then you hope your lawyer comes back and asks the same question. You go, okay, well, you said that, but. That's what your good lawyer does. But when your good lawyer doesn't ask those questions, you're screwed. Because when you go back and look through the court papers, no, it's not. That's why it's really important to have a good lawyer that's paying attention. Yes,
I know. This is why my son joined mock trial. Because he's like, oh, this is great. This is like, I'm like,
don't ever let them explain. Just ask them the question, did you do this or did you not? And you say yes or no, then they move on really, really fast. Next thing you know, you get down here, like, you feel like,
yes.
There's not a person on the face of this earth who's been in a courtroom who hasn't lied, period. Period.
Well, yeah, because even
you, me, Jules, anybody, if you've ever been in a court of law and you've been on a stand, you've lied.
Well, because they ask you the yes and no questions.
Yeah.
And if it's going to be, because you know what you're doing?
Something needs to be fixed there.
You know what you're doing? Here's what you're doing. You're supposed to tell the truth. You're supposed to answer yes or no.
You put your hand on the Bible.
Listen, you're supposed to tell yes or no. You're supposed to tell the truth. But the question is not appropriate to you. It's not a yes or no question, but they phrase it as a yes or no question, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what you'd like to do is explain.
Yeah.
But you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
So what you do in your head is you go, I mean, this is like a multiple choice test. I swear to God. It's what's it closer to? In my head, I'm thinking, is it closer to a yes or is it closer to a no? Because it's neither a yes nor a no, but they're making me go yes or no. So what you do is you essentially are forced by the court of law to lie. So it is not your fault. It is our legal system is making you lie.
It's true.
Do you see what I mean? Because
that is true.
You're not given a chance to say. And then here's the other problem, like you said. So you say the yes or no. In either case, it is you're lying one way or the other because mm-hmm. it is not the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Your lawyer comes around and allows you to clarify.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you're clarifying, now you're clarifying, in some case, the lie that you
it sucks.
We need to rewrite
it. It is ugly.
It is. It is. This is why.
It's the worst thing you could ever do is have to be in a court of law, unless you're just a plain victim and you can just blah, and you're going after somebody. But if it's between you and another person,
well, good luck. Dude, this is why family court, every judge will tell you, I'm here and I don't want any of these people in my court. This is not the place to be handling family problems.
Yeah.
They'll tell you that. Or divorce. They'll tell it to you every single time. Every single time, this is not the place. Because exactly that.
Yeah. And they charge you for it.
Oh yeah. They charge you a lot.
All right. So you're going to be gone. You'll be leaving next Wednesday. Is your last show for the year. And I hope you have a wonderful vacation.
And able to come back. I'll send you pictures. You want anything from England? Like some jams or jellies?
Yeah, bring me back some shot glasses. I think I may start collecting shot glasses again. I get my shot glass collection.
That's what you want? Like some crumpets or something?
Yeah, crumpets are not going to be good for a...
Oh, yeah, crumpets last... Or no, not crumpets. Scones. They're like... I might bring you back some good... Well, you don't like tea. I'm bringing some... They don't have coffee. My son was already warning me of all the things. He's like, Dad, there's no ice. And the ice, if you have to ask for it, he's like, there's no ice. And if you ask for it, it's crappy ice. I'm like, how can it be crappy ice? It's frozen. He says, it's just crappy.
So what part again? You're going to be near London?
We're going to be, we fly into London. My son is in Oxford. So we'll spend some time in Oxford. We'll spend some time in Bath. We're going to go to Roman Baths
nice.
As a family.
Okay.
We all get in the Roman
bathtub. Take some pictures of Big Ben. You know my boy loves Big Ben.
Oh, that's right.
He would love.
Oh, we'll get him a.
Like anything a little... about has to do with Big Ben.
And I forgot about that.
We got people listening on the Thames River right now. Somebody over in.
Really?
Yeah. This morning. 24 hours. They love us.
I love us.
Somebody's on a boat. It's on right in the middle of the river. Two people from the same IP address. Yeah. They've been on for like 3 days. I'm like, I don't know if they just put Tony Curry radio on and forgot about it. God love you. God bless you.
Well, I'll
just
pass the word around while I'm there.
Yeah, do it.
They'll be like, what do you do on TKR?
We were talking to Damon Johnson yesterday, and he's going to be doing his top six bands that didn't make the Hall of Fame. Next Friday, tonight, he'll be doing his best rock and roll trios. And he's like, the Tony Curry radio app. And I was like, yeah. And he goes, can people get it outside the United States? I was like,
it's an app. I know, but you see, like, this
I'm
is...
I'm like, dude, we're in, like, 116 different countries. It's like, really? I'm like, yeah, it's everywhere. It's everywhere.
Don't you think it's hard?
I said, outside China,
yeah.
There's a couple countries where they don't allow rock and roll, or they don't allow this type of
But you
of
see,
app.
What, people have a hard time with this, because if you said to somebody...
It's mind-blowing. No, but it blows their brain away.
Because if you ask somebody, like, can you get this app? Can you get, I don't know, whatever app... Venmo or WhatsApp, could you get it in another country? Yeah. I mean, it's an app.
Yeah.
You get it, but somehow, because it's music and programming, it's like, can you get a podcast in another country? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the internet.
Get after it. All right. Talk about one of our great spots. We'll do some more classic rock and roll here on a Friday, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's the Tony Curry radio app. Go.
I'm good to go from a prostate standpoint because I've had my prostate examined. I've got my little bit of prostate medication because I've got some prostate issues, but not prostate cancer. And I learned the difference from Vitura Health, one of our great partners. They are there helping men to keep their prostates healthy, keep their overall health intact, and then bring new treatments for prostate cancer into the market. Go to their webpage today. VituroHealth.com. Make sure you see your urologist. And if you're diagnosed with prostate cancer or an elevated PSA, go to Vituro Health so you know what your options are. Again, the company is Vituro Health and the webpage is VituroHealth.com.
Tony Curry Radio, your home for the Curry and Claypo Show in the mornings, classic rock to the bone. Of course, you can also hear us from 6 to 8 every Monday through Friday as well right here on a Tony Curry Radio. And some changes coming up in January. We got some more shows we're going to add. We're going to mix some things up in the morning and do some more specialized programming right here on a Tony Curry Radio as well. So that's going to be happening in January. We're always evolving, adapting or perishing, my friend, right?
That's right. That's right. We're going to get real spicy with adapt or perish.
I love it.
I do think.
Well, you're six or seven shows into it now. And, eight shows into it. It's time to evolve. You just like, this is a perfect show for you. Because you can sit there and say, okay, it's called Adapt or Perish. We must adapt our show to continue to grow. And that's what we're doing with the Blues Almighty show and with Damon's show and with Live Wire Wednesday. And you just got to constantly evolve and get bigger and better. And you're doing that.
You know, I love that. We've said.
And we just played Rush right there, which was the perfect analogy throughout. By the way, I think I have a phone call with Geddy Lee next week.
Seriously?
Yeah. Neil Peart, who is the drummer who passed away last year.
Yeah.
Is friends with one of Damon Johnson's guys that plays in the band. And he's like, man, what about... And I said, dude, if we could get... I said, I know two clients that would lose their shit if they could get Geddy Lee on the phone for just a second. Guy that sounds like Geddy Lee.
Can he call in to Adapt to Perish?
I mean, well, I don't know if he'd call in Adapt to Perish. That would be awesome if he could.
I know.
But when he told me, he's like, I can get you on the phone with him. I'm like...
Wish him happy Hanukkah.
Yeah, I don't want to be that guy. Hey, hold on real quick. I want a conference call, three or four different people. You got a second? I don't want to be that guy.
Hi. Dr. Alex loves you.
Yeah.
You know what that is? That's when Don Wells called our show.
I know, right?
Seven guys in one room.
Yeah.
I used to dream of
it. And Brian took it over. You know, if I had a picture of you in my office, I'd be out of business. I wouldn't need ED medicine.
We need to get Dr. Christine back. Do you remember the time when we counted how many times he said?
Erection.
No, I thought it was ejaculation.
Ejaculation, yeah.
I think it was like eight.
Yeah.
In one interview. In 10 minutes?
Yep. We had eight ejaculations in a 15-minute show. The guy is so comfortable with sexuality, it's scary.
Do you also remember you having to explain to me all the words that I could say on terrestrial and the ones that I couldn't say?
Can't say whiskey dick.
Well, no, there was another one that I thought I could say. I couldn't. You can't say dumbass. Could you say dumbass?
You can say dumbass, yeah.
There was one of the ones that I thought you could say, and you told me I couldn't say. Asshole.
Yeah, you're not allowed to say
that's
that.
That's it.
Yeah,
but you can say shit.
Well, it's because part of the bot. No, you can't say shit.
Oh, you can't say
no,
shit.
You can't say that. You can't say anything that, you're not allowed to talk about bodily fluids or
orifices.
Orifices. Yeah.
Well, then,
but ass is not. It's
ass.
Not considered.
Well, because it could be a donkey.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, if you call someone a dumbass, you're not calling them an orifice. You're calling them a dumbass.
Right, and ejaculation is a clinical term.
Because it's clinical, yes. But again, you don't want to overuse things. You know, remember the whole Saturday Night Live bit where they said dick?
Yeah.
And they're like, you can't say dick. And they said, we've said it in the past. And then they did a whole thing and just said the E word as often as they possibly could. And of course, the censors went crazy. Because they're like, okay. Because if you can say it once, you should be able to say it as once as all. But it's like a comedian. It drops the F-bomb every once in a while. If he drops it every once in a while, it's hilarious. If you're dropping it all the time.
Well,
it
Eddie
takes,
Murphy?
Yeah.
Did all the time.
Yeah, but he was funny. He that
right, was he was funny with, right.
If you're a dude that's not, you don't commonly. Well, it's like Damon. He dropped the F-bomb on the show last Friday, and he didn't know he said it. It was perfect. It just came out because that's how he talks when he's talking to me. Now, he'll go into, he does a bunch of interviews.
Right, so he's
he'll
used
go into interviews
to.
And they will say, hey, we got to keep it clean here. I don't, so people have done that to me. This is a clean thing. Yeah, you know, I'm on the Jay Barker Radio Network on Tuesdays.
They tell you it's
and,
clean?
Well, it's a they're on a gospel station, on a Christian station. Oh,
well, you're Catholic. You're fine. Did you tell? Card carrying.
Yeah, and then I'm sitting there, and I'm like, okay. And then Jay's asking me about my prostate. Hey, remember, tell a story about the time that you and Al had your prostates checked on there. I'm like, dude, you just told me I didn't keep it clean.
That's clean. Your prostate was
because
clean.
Because don't tease me. Don't tease me. Don't well, tell me I can't screw around and hire a woman to give me a lap dance because then that's not fair. Don't do that. One place you don't have to get teased, the club at Lakeview. The club at Lakeview, because it's all there for the pleasures of life, man. Golf, swim, eat, repeat.
You can't ask for anything more
than
that.
If you could throw a nap in there somewhere, golf, swim, eat, repeat, nap, it'd be the perfect place for me anyway. They're wonderful. It's a private membership club. They went private last year, and a lot of people are like, I can't afford a private membership. Oh, yes, you can. Everybody in that community and outside the Birmingham area should be allowed to be part of a privately owned membership and a country club. And what I love about this place is, man, everyone knows who you are. Every time I go up there with the kids, everyone knows who I am. It's great. They have a volleyball court. They have a beautiful swimming pool. You don't have to wait till, like, you know, it's Labor Day, Memorial Day, whatever comes first. I get those confused. The golf course is open around the clock. They do night golf. They had a night golfing tournament a couple of weeks ago. It's fantastic. The food is wonderful. The entire staff is great. Chris Creek just had himself a baby girl a few months ago, so he's getting after it, and he's loving life, and they do a wonderful job. The club at Lakeview, 477-6125-4. 776-1255, or go to the club at Lakeview, their Facebook page, or the club at Lakeview.com, and check them out. They do fantastic work.